Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
I lay my heart on an altar of grace. So clearly now I see your face. With eyes it burned with your love for me. Call me child, you set me free.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again reading from the book of Acts chapter 15. We're going to pick it up somewhere around verse number 23. And here we find a council in Jerusalem sending letters to Gentile believers. And in verse 23, it says, with them they sent the following letter. They sent this letter to the churches in the Gentile world. And they sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas. And so they said, the apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. That's a good way to start.
It's a nice way to welcome.
Greetings.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I ever started a letter with greetings.
I've tried.
Have you?
It just doesn't feel comfortable to me.
No, it doesn't.
No.
You usually start off with something, you know, but not just with greetings.
Right.
But this must be a proper way to do it in this time of the year.
Certainly is. Yeah. They do it backwards. They sign the letter saying who it's from first.
You're right.
You know, in our letters, we always, dear so-and-so, and then sign it. Here, you know, you'll read Paul's letters. Paul, an apostle, or whoever, always signs the letter first, so you know exactly who it's coming from.
So he starts off with a happy word. Greetings.
Yeah, greetings.
We greet you. But we have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your mind by what they said. Now, there's a lot of preachers and a lot of people and some people in the congregation that do trouble people's minds.
You know, there's definitely a lot of teaching out there. You can get it on television. You can get it on radio. You can get it on computer, on your phone. Everybody has technology in their hands nowadays. So you can get teaching from any and every source, but not all of it is good. And this is what they're saying. Here's some stuff went out. They didn't go from us, so we got to deal with it.
But, you know, it's such a diverse culture we live in today. America used to be, people became part of a melting pot where they came and they all agreed with our Constitution.
Right.
They agreed with what we believe. But now today, people come from every different culture, and rather than blending in with our Constitution, they want to start their own legal system, Sharia law, or they want to change this, or they want to be like this. And there's pockets all over the United States that are saying different things. And so it is a bit disturbing today on who you listen to, because so many people have different ideas and thoughts, and that really challenges. I imagine they must have had the same kind of difficulty when people started teaching different kinds of religions.
Right. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It must have been really hard.
Yep.
So anyway, the apostles, they said in verse number 25, they agreed that we should choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends, Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to send you just anybody.
Right.
These guys, they're like SEAL Team 6. They went out and they risked their lives to preach the gospel. So they really meant what they were teaching.
And we know from the previous chapters what Paul and Barnabas went through, what Paul went through.
Yeah.
The physical beatings that, you know, that he endured and the people just kind of coming against him. So these men definitely risked their lives. I love how they put that here are some people that, you know, this message of the gospel, this person named Jesus Christ that they're saying has been risen from the dead, it's worth risking your life about. And that's what they did.
Yeah, and so the church as a whole sends out these men with letters explaining to them that there are people who have been teaching things that we don't agree with, but these men, not only do we agree with them, but they have risked everything to bring you this good news. So therefore, we're sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. So it's pretty interesting. It's not just what we're writing, but we're actually going to have somebody in who's going to put their whole life on the line. Yep. They're going to come. They're going to travel there. They're going to tell you face-to-face. There's something about face-to-face.
Yeah. You know, Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missions journey. The church sent them out from Antioch. They came back. There were some issues that happened. They went down to Jerusalem. They're dealing with the issues, and they're getting sent back out. So here's the follow-up missions trip, and they're sending some other guys with them because everything needs to be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
That's it. So
here's Paul and Barnabas. We had this meeting, and we're also saying, because we want you as Gentile believers, we know that something special's happening here. They're still in the infancy of the church, and they want to do everything they can to maintain the integrity of the early church so that it would grow and bear good fruit.
And we know that it's God's will to reach out to people, not just Jewish people, right, but to the whole world, to everyone. So that's really what they're protecting here. They're protecting right. the plan of God, which is that all men can be saved if they repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And these who are disturbing and they're troubling the minds of the Gentiles, saying, well, first you have to become a Jew before right. you can actually become a Christian.
Right.
And what's happening here is they're saying, no, that's not the way it works. No. Jesus came to set the captives free. You just have to believe. So therefore, they're sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we were writing to you beforehand. And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us yeah. not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. And I like the way they put it. They don't say it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So it seems like the Holy Spirit gets billing.
He gets top billing.
Top billing.
And that's how it should be. God needs to get top billing in this thing called the church, because it's his church that he's building. And, you know, hey, circumcision was a big deal. It was a big deal for
the Jews.
It was huge.
Well, it was a sign that you were right. Jewish. I mean, obviously, that's what God told Moses right. to do him as a sign. So it became a sign. Of course, Paul addresses this. It's not circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart right. that becomes right. most important. And that goes right along with what they're trying to prove here, that you sure. don't have to become Jewish and be circumcised in the flesh, but you have to become circumcised in the heart.
In the heart, yeah. And the new sign is I would think, like water baptism, which says, I'm going to die
That's
with
true.
Christ and I'm going to be raised with Christ. So water baptism
becomes a sign.
Is a significant
following.
Sign that, yeah, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm burying myself with him and I'm going to walk a new life with him.
But once again, water baptism was like the mikveh bath anyway. It was is it like a carryover, if you will, from the Jewish faith, because before you went to the temple, you had to be clean. And the flowing of water, no matter where it was, not a water that was still, but a water that was actually moving, you would go through it and it would be like a washing and a washing away
nice.
Of your sins. And so that kind of ideas is the same when a person is baptized. There's a physical following of the Lord Jesus Christ that is observant, and you do this through renouncing sin
right.
and asking God to cleanse you. And the symbolism is the baptism is, like you say, it's your death and resurrection.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sign.
It's a beautiful symbolism.
You know, to show, it's an outward expression of your inward faith, and when you can do that, we're just going to do a baptism here, coming up.
Yeah, and you want to come over and watch it.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. Some people are going to give their testimonies of the change that has happened in their life in coming to a personal relationship with Christ. And then they're going to be buried in the water and come out of that water. And it's a sign to you that they are Christians, followers of Christ.
Yeah. But again, once again, they're trying to be very cautious, because being circumcised was a sign that you were Jewish, and so yeah. they tried to make it a sign that you were a Christian. And so baptism, in one way, you cannot say, well, if you're not baptized, you're not
right.
a Christian, because
right.
because the guy who hung on the cross didn't get a chance to get baptized. And yet Jesus said, you're going to be with me
exactly.
in my Father's kingdom.
Yep.
So here is a driving force to make sure that you understand that there's really only one way to salvation, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's it. No other things. But then they go on and say, well, here's a couple things that probably would be good. If you abstain from food sacrificed to idols, which means you're putting Christ first,
right.
you're not bowing to idols,
yep.
and to keep also food that's sacrificed from idols and from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. I think we don't have any problems with the sacrificing to idols. I don't think we have any problems with sexual immorality. The problem you might have sometimes is with the blood from the meat that is strangled from animals.
Mm.
So you might have some difficulty with that. Try to figure that one out. That might be a good study for you to do.
That would be an incredible to really find out what he's saying there. Obviously, life is in the blood.
Exactly.
And so don't want you... Now, I know there's some cultures that drink blood or that make blood sausage.
Yes.
And, you know, so but there's probably more so, if you dig a little bit, I would think that has to do with idolatry and pagan religion with those couple of things there. So for us, in our modern society, where we're at, probably not so much to do with us here.
No, not so much, but this may be similar to what Paul tells us, or later on when we find out, is that you don't want to cause your brother to
yeah.
stumble. And people that have been grown up in alcoholic families, they are totally against people that they don't really want you to drink simply because that might cause your brother to stumble if he sees you drinking, and if he's got an alcoholic problem, then you shouldn't be doing this. And I think that what happens is in the Jewish culture, they would never eat meat that's been strangled, an animal's been strangled, because the blood remains in the animal.
Right.
When you cut the animal's throat and you drain the blood,
there you go.
And the blood is out of the animal, so then, because there's such a powerful force in the blood of Jesus,
right,
and the fact that the life of the flesh is in the blood, so there's that, you don't want to offend someone in the Jewish culture. So that's maybe the reason that's in there more than anything else.
Sure, definitely.
So then it goes on and he says, farewell. Greetings, farewell.
Yeah.
That's a nice short letter.
Nice short letter. Nothing fit. You don't
quick.
Have to sit here. Here's the deal. Here's
this,
what you need
easy.
To do. Yeah. It's
quick.
Simple to be a follower of Christ, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and abstain from stuff that you know could, A, cause your brother to stumble, or sexual immorality cause you to stumble.
Yeah.
So avoid that stuff.
Pretty interesting, I'll tell you. The gospel is very clear, and it's very succinct. It has one purpose, is to lead you to Jesus.
Yeah.
And whatever keeps you from following Jesus or keeps you from coming into his presence, the enemy will do everything he can to keep that from happening. Because when you're in his presence, then you'll find the freedom that you've been looking for. We find people that come to Bethany, a lot of times they come when they have hang-ups and hurts, and they have habits that have caused them great problems. But when they come into the presence of the Lord, those things, they fade away, and Jesus helps deliver them from them. And so this is really what this travel is up and this word is about. They traveled to preach to people who were caught in bondages to idols and all kinds of different immoralities, and to help them to be free in Jesus Christ. And so it's the exact same thing. They're writing this letter and letting people know that if you want to be free, Jesus is the person who can get you free. That's the only way you're going to find real freedom.
And it's so exciting that it's not just a Jewish thing. It started with the Jews, but then it is expanded to the entire world, like you said, because that's the heart of God.
Yes.
And this letter is kind of that first letter of greeting and welcoming everybody to the foot of the cross, where you can find that help that you need for all those hurts, habits, hang-ups, all those things in your life that separate you from a relationship with God. They're saying you can turn to God and find just what you're.
So the next verse, in verse 30, after they say farewell, this is the letter they wrote, the men were then sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. So they gather everybody together, and this is the letter that comes from Jerusalem. It comes to Antioch, and it's kind of helped the Gentile believers to be accepted into the church. They gather the church together, and they deliver the letter. The people read it, and they were glad for its encouraging message. So maybe there was a little bit of discouragement when they had other people come and tell them, this is what you have to do. You have to do this, 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 and then perhaps maybe you can become part of this kingdom.
You know, I think so many people think there is so many, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, you know, and here, they're not saying any of that. They're like, hey, we know you guys are disturbed, that there's been some teaching that's gone out. It's not about that stuff. Here's what you need to avoid. And this stuff is kind of a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer.
And
you probably would want to avoid normally.
Exactly. And so it's exciting that it brought relief to them, spiritual relief. And that's what we try to do here at Bethany, is we try to offer you truth and peace through the teaching that we have, through this radio broadcast, through the preaching and teaching of our main services, our Sunday school classes that we have. We want you to be free, because that's why Jesus came.
It's an encouraging message.
Yeah.
That's just what the words used here mean. That when you're finished listening to God's word and you're finished and you're in church, you're encouraged.
Yeah.
You leave better than when you came
right.
in. And that's the whole purpose of the kingdom, is that you might understand that he has come to set you free and to give you a hope for a better future. So Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I ever read that these guys really were prophets.
Yeah.
They're calling them prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. So they gave prophetic words.
Yeah.
They must have been speaking to them in words that built them up, not tear them down,
right.
not make them feel like they have to, like you say, have to fulfill this, fulfill that. No, simply have faith in Christ. And they encouraged them and strengthened them. And after spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers with the blessings of peace to return to those who had sent them. So, wonderful little trip.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, I would not like to go to a church where you walk out all burdened and heavy, and I can't do any of that. I can't do it. They walked out of here rejoicing, going, this is
light.
It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today.
Yep. Light floating on air.
Yeah. A good word, an encouraging word. Love that. Yeah.
And they walked out with peace.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's awesome.
And they returned to those who had sent them.
Right. Yep.
But Paul and Barnabas remains in Antioch. They stayed there, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Now, it's interesting because you think, well, okay, all I got to do is go to church one day, and I'm all set for the rest of my life.
Right, yeah. Hey,
I don't have to go. Just once is good. If I go on Easter, go on Christmas, I'm all set.
I'm faithful.
But here we find out that Paul and Barnabas, they stayed there. Why? So they could teach and preach the word of God, because there is an illiteracy in America today of the word of God.
There's definitely a lack of desire to read it, to apply it, to live it, and definitely a heart that is opposed to it.
Yeah. Used to be taught in schools.
Right.
Our great schools, Harvard, Yale, all of those began as theological educations.
Yep.
They all began preachers to teach them the word of God. In our schools, we used to use the Bible as a textbook.
Yep.
We used to understand biblical language. We used to understand the stories and all the passages in the scriptures and the idiosyncrasies that were found there. But today, we don't let the Bible anywhere near students. Today, people don't even understand anything about the word of the Lord. What they get is simply a
world
view, a worldview that says
humanistic.
You're the center of the universe.
Yeah. It's a humanistic worldview where I can fix my problems and I can fix the world problems that will come together, and it's just not going to happen. And they don't even realize that in all their entertainment, most of their entertainment is based on stuff they can find in the Bible.
That's true.
You know, the good versus evil, and even some of the characters and some of their development. Man, I can track back to some of this stuff in the Bible, and they'd be amazed if they really understood that.
Well, now we're getting to the place where we say, well, our technology, our artificial intelligence is going to bring us into enlightenment.
Yes.
We don't need God. We don't need any of that.
Wow.
So here we know that the apostles recognized the need for the word of God. They sent them a scripture to tell them we're coming. They came, then they stayed, and they preached the word.
Amen.
And that's the beginning of faith in the life of the Gentiles.
Praise
and
God.
I hope that the beginning of your faith begins when you humble your heart, ask Jesus to come into your life, because he wants to bring you happiness, joy, and peace. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed wishing you a great day. God bless.